Why to spend 10 billion crowns on road construction? Transportation liberated people from poverty and contributed to their present higher standard of living. In the Middle Ages, life of the people was uneventful and static. They never left their native village and knew only the type of food and clothing available in their immediate neighborhood. People were not only serfs of their lords, they were even more enslaved by their own ignorance and superstitions, which made their lives miserable. The medieval man invested his money in immovable properties. He was building castles, walled towns, cathedrals, and royal tombs. After the invention of the steam engine, people began to invest their money in movable assets, such as railroads and highways, and lately also in automobiles and airplanes. The thus invested capitals helped considerably to improve the quality of life. It is common knowledge that due to improved transportation conditions, the population in developed countries increased in the past 100 years at least fourfold. At the present, even the most modest families can afford to buy household equipment and other items available formerly only to the very rich. Even a simple citizen can now consume food imported from different parts of the world, such as coffee, tea, tropical fruit, spices, etc., served in the past only at the noblest tables. Living and working space multiplied, particularly in countries with a well-organized public transportation. It might be said that transportation liberated people from the primitive way of life when they had to fabricate themselves all they needed. It enabled division and specialization of work with all the beneficial consequences of good and inexpensive products available to everybody. Transportation and mobility preceded all the hundreds of thousands of items of up-to-date technical equipment in various factories, producing goods required by modern people, who, having discovered all the contemporary amenities of life and wishing to acquire them, created the existing conditions of modern production and commerce. When 100 years ago, courageous and hard-working people started to invest their money in transportation, namely railroads, they were at great disadvantage in comparison with our times. They were not yet familiar with the effects and results of transportation, and they did not realize how much it can change the life of a nation and increase its wealth. They did not know that such investments create great assets for everybody. We could cite, as an example, the United States of America, where people at those times had not yet discovered that railroads can change a modest artisan into a factory owner, or that a Ford automobile and a good highway help a poor peasant to become a proud, wealthy farmer. And yet, they were not afraid to invest their money in transportation because they understood the principal purpose of work and of entrepreneurship. Everything that supports, furthers, and improves the quality of life creates assets at the same time and pays for itself in the long run. We can recognize with our own eyes the unique improvement of life conditions and the growing wealth of the great American nation. In places where 100 years ago a railroad track was unknown and trains did not exist, there are presently more than 4 million kilometers of the best roads in the world, 9 times more per inhabitant than in our country, and 640,000 kilometers of rails, 6 times more per inhabitant than in our country. We know that underground pipelines, 130 kilometers long, or 10 times longer than our entire railroad network, are distributing crude oil to refineries. Americans own over 24 automobiles, which represents at least 720 million horsepower. Those enormous underground surface, water, and air transportation forces attract new capital like a magnet. they create new assets and new fortunes. How can it be achieved? Let us assume that a car saves its owner 30 minutes of his time every day. If we then assess the value of his 1 hour at $1, a ridiculously low figure, we arrive at $12 million per day, that is $360 million per year. This, of course, is a rather negligible and one-sided evaluation of the influence of automobiles on the creation of national wealth. It is hardly possible to express in figures the extent of the broadening of human knowledge by travel. Travel opens new business opportunities, which in turn contribute to the establishment of new commercial or production enterprises, offering new jobs to a great number of people. The automobile helps to recognize the force of mechanical power and its exploitation. Once a man, particularly in early youth, discovers the power of machines, he will never again return to the drudgery of manual work. He starts using his intellectual power in order to harness to the service of humanity as much mechanical power as possible. Americans were not afraid of the tremendous investments their transportation system required, and they willingly continue to do so. For example, they are spending more than one-tenth of their personal income for cars and over $1 billion, 1.25% of their GNP, for roads. They know it is the best investment. The Germans are of the same opinion. According to their current road construction plans, they intend to spend for it in the 10 years to come 4.5 million marks, that is 36 billion Czechoslovakian crowns. The English are spending for 180,000 miles, that is 290,000 kilometers of their excellent English roads, 56.5 million pounds sterling, that is 9,379 million Czechoslovakian crowns. The road construction policy in countries considered as economical models shows us how to get out of the mud and dirt we are wading through on our roads. Negligible means and deeds will not help to solve this great misery. They would only produce time-consuming personal squabbles among the representatives of the several lands over the division of the allotted modest funds. This great effort facing generations requires great actions. We must, for instance, straighten our highways because we are squandering the most precious commodity, time, on winding roads dangerous to lives and property. What we need are solid, hard-surfaced highways, because with our present car traffic, to build simple gravel roads is a waste of money. Such roads are costlier than asphalt, concrete, or paved ones. We have to spend for construction and maintenance of our roads as much money per year as the Americans or the Germans do. That means at least 1.5% of our GNP, estimated at 75 billion crowns a year, that is 1 billion crowns yearly. Our current road construction program, based on a loan of 10 years, is absolutely inadequate. It just suffices to cause disputes between the representatives of all nationalities and regions involved. Following problems must be solved: the financial problem of securing adequate funds, the technical problem of creating and organizing industries related to road construction, and last but not least, the commercial problem of building the first highways in regions where they would be instrumental in bringing new investments into the country and could thus create new capital assets. However, the most important problem to solve is relevant to the human element involved. We have to invent road construction methods which would reward the workers with the highest income possible. That, in turn, would incite the best qualified people to engage in such work. The Czechoslovak people do certainly have adequate means to contribute to the rebuilding of our roads. I am the more convinced of that as I expect this project to be beneficial to the entire construction industry, and thus to avert the menace of unemployment which would most certainly follow the building boom of the past few years. Employment in other sectors such as industry, trade, and agriculture would equally profit. I am convinced that a network of good, solidly built highways in a transit country like our Republic should definitely act as a magnet attracting important investments to our land and result in growing affluence of the entire population.